This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever.
Yeah, you can double check. Check one, two. Maybe get me a stand too, Dave. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we've already studied a number of weeks on this topic, the power of the Spirit. And we're primarily talking about, don't look at Dave, look at me. Fella could get a complex up here. You don't pay any attention to him while he's talking. We've been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, and primarily we're talking about the manifestations of the Spirit here listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, we're talking about, oh, now you're going to mess with this mic, huh? Oh, I see how it is. All right. All right. Let's pray that these guys find a good job, Lord. No, I'm just kidding. Sound is a complicated thing, and these guys, I love you guys. They work as hard as they can. First Corinthians, we better read the Bible. How about that? Let's read the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's all read our passage that we've been reading pretty much every time. Verses 7 through 11 together out loud. I'm reading from the New King James, so if you don't have that one, follow along on the screens. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's all read together verses 7 through 11, let's read. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. In other words, as the Holy Spirit wills, not as we will. And let me just point out once again that some people understand that the Holy Spirit is the one that initiates the manifestations of the Spirit. Sometimes He just initiates it. You didn't even know it. He just does it on His own. How many of you know the Holy Spirit can do that? He just initiates. A lot of times, though, we're actively doing something for God, praying for somebody, ministering to somebody, and in that process, the Holy Spirit steps in and says, let me give you a power boost, a turbo here, a supercharge, and something happens supernaturally, not just at a faith level where we're believing God, for example, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's not that process of just our faith. It is something where the Holy Spirit just, bam, just drops a direct, instant healing on somebody. That's a manifestation of the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I like those. Don't you like those? I like those. But it is as the Holy Spirit wills. But once again, let me point out to you that I believe the Holy Spirit wills far more often than we allow Him to, or that we're available, or that we're even conscious that He wants to move through our lives toward other people. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about two gifts that go together, and it's the gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues. We're going to come back to these ones that we have skipped, some of these power gifts, but right along with prophecy flows tongues and interpretation of tongues. So let's take a peek at this tonight, and we're going to start in chapter 14. If there was something else that Paul talks about as much or close to as much as prophecy and emphasizes as much, it would be tongues. Of course, a lot of his explanation is just that. It's explanation, trying to help the Corinthian church understand tongues. Now, let me point this out. We talked about this in the series called Be Filled with the Holy Spirit, or Be Filled with the Spirit. But let me point this out at this juncture. When reading 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, where Paul talks a lot about tongues, you need to understand that this apostle is writing to a church that functions in tongues and interpretation, but this is a tongue-talking church. This is not a church that hasn't heard anything about that or kind of heard about it, but they don't really know much. This is a church that speaks with tongues on a regular basis. In fact, Paul is bringing a correction to this church because they do it in excess. They do it at times that are not appropriate and not helpful and not beneficial to a church setting and to a body of believers. And so Paul is bringing about a correction. A lot of times we find churches that will read this, and the church, and I'm talking about pastors and leaders and teachers and such, and in their church they have no tongues, they have no interpretation, and they try to read this passage as if it's talking to a church that already has no tongues and interpretation as a validation. See that right there? Paul said you're not supposed to do it. No, Paul was talking and correcting a church as the apostle of that church that had an excess problem. And he's trying to get that excess problem under control by encouraging them to always move in spiritual gifts by love and sensitivity toward the people, not just toward yourself. And so if you can understand the context of what is being written here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, then it'll help you to understand what Paul really is saying. And we're going to walk through it, much of it tonight, what Paul really is saying and how it applies to the church today in general, as well as the rock here in our church. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's read these first five verses. We read this on Sunday in talking about prophecy, but because tongues are woven in here, it applies to us tonight as well. It says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." Let's just stop right there and look at verse 2. "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but speaks to who?" Speaks to God. Now, I want you to notice here that Paul is talking about speaking with tongues. And later on in this chapter, he mentions praying with tongues. And he's saying here, the arrow is going up. It's going from the person speaking with tongues to God. But see, in chapter 12, we just read that the manifestations of the Spirit are given to each one for the profit of all. And a message with tongues that profits other people is generally a message from God through that person to the body. But here it says, he who speaks in a tongue is speaking from this person to God. See, the arrow is going upward. And this is where we need to understand right off the bat when we're talking about tongues and interpretation of tongues, there is a difference between praying in tongues or praying in the Spirit, as we would sometimes call it, or praying in your heavenly language, some people refer to it as, and a manifestation of the Spirit, which is a message from God to the body. See, when the Holy Spirit manifests something, he's not manifesting a message from you. He's manifesting a message to people, to, from God to us. See, you have to know on this letter, there's a from place that you have the address, and there's a to place. And tongues goes both ways. See, when you pray in tongues, the Bible says your spirit prays. Well, who are you praying to? You're praying to God, so the arrow's going up. But when there's a manifestation of the Spirit to profit the body or to profit other people, it's a message initiated by God, the Holy Spirit, through an individual that is later to be interpreted so that people can receive benefit and insight from God. So notice there is more than one way that tongues happen. Now, both kinds of tongues, both the prayer, which goes upward to God, and the tongue downward, they're the same tongues, really. It's all tongues. It's unknown language by the power of the Holy Spirit. Both are by the power of the Spirit. Isn't that right? But the manifestation of the Spirit is for the profit of all. But praying in tongues is not for the profit of all. So we can readily say by the scripture that praying in tongues is not in this list of nine in regards to the manifestations of the Spirit for the profit of all. Is it by the power of the Spirit? Absolutely. And that's why I said we're not talking about in this series all of the power of the Holy Spirit. We're just talking about these nine manifestations that benefit the body that happen through us. So tongues are the same in essence, but listen, they're different in purpose. They're different in purpose. One benefits yourself as you speak with tongues. And the other is to benefit others. But it needs to be what? Interpreted. Why? Because they don't understand that language. Except on rare occasions where we have seen, as in Acts chapter 2, where somebody did speak by the power of the Holy Spirit in tongues. In fact, a whole group, about 120 people. And people gathered from Jerusalem all around from various countries, and they heard in their own language. There was no interpretation happening. They heard the people speaking in tongues in their own languages. That was by the power of the Spirit. Now, same in purpose, same in essence, but different in purpose. Let's read this verse again. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, a lot of times this is missed. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Everybody say mysteries. Now, a lot of people would interpret this kind of as a negative thing. Oh, he's babbling, you know, and it doesn't really help anybody. It's mysteries. It's just, you know, as if it's a negative thing. That's not what he's saying. He's saying nobody understands him. However, even though no one understands him, you need to understand in the Spirit, he is speaking mysteries. Mysteries. The word mysteries is the Greek word musterion, and musterion means hidden secrets, referring to hidden secrets of God. In other words, while they're speaking by the power of the Spirit in the Holy Spirit or in their spiritual language, God is speaking in that spiritual language secrets of his. And how many of you know he's not trying to conceal those secrets? He's trying to reveal them. Is that right? And so when we are speaking and praying in the Holy Spirit, we're praying secrets, and even though we don't understand what we're saying, those prayers are going out into the spirit realm and causing things to happen. It's causing things to come to pass. But not only that, later on here, we're going to see that Paul says, but let him who prays in tongues, speaks in a tongue, pray that he may interpret. So see, a lot of times you can receive insight and wisdom from God, secrets from God, by the Holy Spirit helping you to interpret what you're saying, even if you're not in a corporate setting. Did you hear what I said? You can be praying in the Spirit over an issue or a situation in your life, and the Holy Spirit will show you in your spirit what you're praying about and give you some secrets from God. Thank God. Isn't that good? So when it says, however, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. He's saying, if you do that in church, nobody's hearing those mysteries because they don't know the language. But that doesn't mean that nobody's ever going to find out what those mysteries are, because if we only spoke them in the Spirit, then it would do us no good, except for the fact that we're praying them out. But I believe God wants to give us wisdom, don't you? And he wants to reveal these things to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, look at verse 3. He who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies who? Himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Say that with me. I wish you all spoke with tongues. Do you think Paul's being honest there? Or do you think he's just sucking up to the tongue talkers? Huh? What do you think? Is he being honest? He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless, what? Indeed he interprets. So in other words, when a message in tongues is given and then there's an interpretation following, then he says that interpretation raises the value in a corporate setting, not necessarily a large gathering, but any gathering of believers. When a tongue is interpreted, that raises the value of that message in tongues with the interpretation up to the level of prophecy. It doesn't mean it's really identical to prophecy. It just means it raises it up in value because now those that are around can understand what God is saying. Now, let me give you the definitions here, my definitions of different kinds of tongues and then the interpretation of tongues. Different kinds of tongues are supernatural messages from God in a language not known to the speaker. That's what they are. The Holy Spirit gives somebody supernatural messages in a language not known to the speaker. And then interpretation of tongues is supernatural interpretation. Do we have these? We don't have these? Well, they're short. Those of you that are jotting them down, you can jot them down. Let's find out why we don't have these, because I believe I sent these over. Supernatural interpretation. Now listen, not translation. Did you hear what I said? Not translation. Interpretation of tongues is not translation of tongues. It's interpretation. How many of you know there's a difference between interpretation and translation? See, some people would think that when somebody gives a message in tongues, that somebody else is going to word for word translate that. No, that's not the way it works. In fact, sometimes somebody will give a message in tongues, and more than one person will give an interpretation. Here's what I sense from the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's saying out of that. Somebody else may say something, and I've heard two people give an interpretation that has the same concept in it and such, but there's a little different angle on one of them than the other. Why is that? Because one person may have interpreted a part of what God said. Another person has a different part of what God said. See, it's an interpretation, not a translation. Let me give you that whole definition. Supernatural interpretation, not translation, of a message in tongues. Now, let's come down to verse 6, and we're going to flow through a number of verses here. And there are some portions of this passage that are very misunderstood by much of the body of Christ. And I want you to understand. How many of you know that Paul starts off in chapter 12, verse 1, by saying, I don't want you to be ignorant about these things. And let me tell you, God doesn't want the body of Christ to be ignorant, and I don't want you here at the Rock to be ignorant about these things. I want us to understand what Paul is talking about in this passage here in chapter 14. Let's begin to read, and we're going to read a number of verses here, starting at verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Did you catch that? Let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, notice pray. Pray goes to God. Is that right? I don't pray to you. I pray to God. See the arrows going up. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding, my mind, is unfruitful. I don't understand what I'm saying, so I'm not getting anything out of it. So that's why he said, so if you speak in a tongue, pray that you may interpret so that even when you're praying to God, you may receive some insight out of it by the Holy Spirit. Well, somebody said, why would I want to? Because they're mysteries. They're secrets of God. They're things that the Holy Spirit knows from the heart of God that we don't know. And how many of you know, the more you know that God knows, the better off you are. Is that right? The more you can see God's perspective on a situation, the better off you are. All right, verse 15. Now notice, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also Pray with the understanding. What's the conclusion? Everybody say both. See, some people say, well, see, what Paul's saying is we don't pray in the Spirit. We just prophesy or we just preach the word. No, that's not what the conclusion was. Somebody missed these verses. Is that right? Sometimes people skip over some of these. Paul said, here's the conclusion. Both. Not either or. And. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. For us, that would be English. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For indeed you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Let's stop there, because right here in verses 18 and 19, Paul gives us the context of what he's talking about in this passage. He says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So is Paul encouraging people to speak with tongues? Absolutely. Does Paul believe in speaking in tongues? Yes. Does he believe it's of God and of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. He said, in fact, I do it more than all of you, which would tell us that Paul is saying, I value it more than all of you. See, he's talking to a church that has tongues going on in the service all the time. And so he's letting them know, I don't value tongues less than you do. In fact, I speak with tongues more than all of you. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? As if he followed each person in the church around to measure how much they spoke in tongues. Paul spoke with tongues so much that he already knew, I blow all of you guys away. Is that right? I speak with tongues more than you all. But notice this, these next few words. Yet in the church. Say that with me. Yet in the church. Here's a man that understands and values speaking with tongues, but he says, let me give you the context of what I'm talking about. Yet in the church. He says there's a difference between being in the church and me being off away from the church praying by myself. Now, there are a lot of people that don't know the difference. There are a lot of people that speak in tongues at the same amount, at the same volume, in the same way that they do, whether they're in the church or outside of the church. And let me tell you, I believe according to the Scripture, that's wrong. Now, some churches will have this happen. And let me just point out, I'm not here to talk about other churches. I'm just here to help you understand what I believe Paul is saying here. And I believe it's very clear. And what the Lord wants us to do as a church. But sometimes I use things because many of you have had backgrounds and you can relate and understand what I'm talking about, okay? But thank God for anybody that believes in Jesus and wins people to the Lord. I say that all the time, but let me just say it again. I do not want anybody going out to be critical of another church. I don't want anybody to say, Pastor Jerry's critical. I'm not. You haven't heard me bring up anybody's church's name and be critical about anybody. I'm not sowing discord here. I'm just helping us to understand what the Bible's saying. Does everybody hear that? Everybody say this with me. Say, we love other churches. If they win people to Jesus, we're on their team. If they preach the word, we're on their team. We're just trying to understand for ourselves. Now, if you speak with tongues the same amount in the same way in church as out of church, I believe that you're out of line with Scripture. In two ditches. One is people that pray in tongues, speak in tongues at home and such, and just go for it, praise God, but then they come in church and they're not sensitive at all to anybody else around them and the backgrounds that they have and what they understand or what's going on in the service. I believe that's out of line. When we come in church, different rules apply. Do you understand what I'm saying? Paul says, yet in the church. And so if you do it at the same level, then it's out of line. Other people, they have none going on in the church and none going on at home, and I believe that's out of line too. Is that right? Yes. According to the Word of God, that's out of line. Paul said, I wish you all did. Yet you just need to understand in the church, there are some different things that we need to consider. Mainly, people. Yet in the church. Now notice what Paul said. Some people See, we're dealing with doctrines in ditches on both sides of this road. And we're just trying to come and say, what does the Bible say? And some people want to eliminate it altogether, and other people don't want any guidelines at all. If I feel like doing it, I ought to be able to do it, bless God. Well, that's wrong too, isn't it? That's wrong too. Notice what Paul says, verse 19. Yet in the church, I, the apostle of God, who is writing to you by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. That's pretty clear right there, isn't it? But notice he's saying in the church. In the church. Why? Well, if you read chapter 13, you'll find out why. He says, because I love these people that I'm around. And I don't just come to church for myself. I come to church to benefit them. So I would rather speak five words for us that would be in English than 10,000 words. Somebody says, yeah, but that's the Holy Spirit on us. Yeah, but Paul said, but you're not hearing what I'm saying. In the church, I'm not just here just to exercise and to be excited like a toy, like I got the Holy Spirit. Look what I can do. That's not the point. When we come together, the point is to benefit one another and to send one another away with understanding about God and encouragement and words from God. Insight. So Paul says there's a difference between us being at home and us being in church. Now, notice verse 20. Am I back on? Okay. Very good. I like to hold this thing. Verse 20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. Read that with me. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. What does that mean? He's saying, he's talking to this church that has a lot of speaking in tongues, and he's saying, you need to grow up a little bit in understanding what's going on. Now, some people just assume if you got a lot of spiritual stuff going on that there's maturity there. It doesn't take maturity to have manifestations and move of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? That's not a sign of more maturity. That's just a sign of people being open to what the Holy Spirit is doing. But I've seen a whole lot of people move with the Spirit and have no maturity, no wisdom, and it just fizzles right out and blows people apart, hurts people, offends people. Because they don't understand moving in love and sensitivity toward people, it becomes about this toy that we have. Oh, and it's all about having fun with it. It's all about, look at this. And they get all excited about it. I've seen people kind of play around with these things before. And Paul said, no, that's not what this is about. Now, not that this is some humdrum thing where we can't enjoy it either. How many of you know there's nothing wrong with smiling and enjoying? Some people can't even smile when the Holy Spirit's moving because that wouldn't be reverent to smile. That's not right either, is it? We should enjoy righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what the Bible says? Man, one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Is that right? And so this should be an enjoyable thing, not some religious humdrum thing. But we shouldn't get off into playing like children and misunderstanding and misdirecting these manifestations and the power of the Holy Spirit. So, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. Now, listen to what he says in following up that statement. Verse 21, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but to those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Now, there's some misunderstanding, I believe, in this portion of Scripture. And I want us to look at a couple of passages that might, I believe, help us with this. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians 14 and go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28. And this is the prophetic word from Isaiah that Paul is quoting here. When Paul says, don't be children in understanding, but in understanding be mature. And then he says, it's written in the law, with men of other tongues and other lips I'll speak to this people. Let's look at chapter 28 of Isaiah, but let's start at the 7th verse. And then we'll come down to the portion that is quoted. Isaiah 28:7 says, but they also have erred through wine. Does anybody know what wine is? They have erred through wine, and through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. You know, a lot of people get in trouble with alcohol and drugs, substances. Is that right? And God, many times in the scripture, says, like in the last chapter of Proverbs, when King Lemuel is getting a lesson from his mother, and she says, it's not for kings. Meaning it's not for people in authority to be under the influence while making decisions that affect other people's lives. Is that right? You know, people get loosey-goosey with some of this kind of stuff and don't take it seriously, want to be an ambassador of God and want God to entrust them with leadership and entrust them with influence with people. And yet in their lifestyle, they're willing to compromise their sobriety in their decision-making. And let me tell you something. God takes very seriously those who have influence to affect other people's lives. And so here, God's talking about the priest and the prophet. These are leaders that have influence, and he said they erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. Out of the way means they're out of line. They're out of line. They're off track. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean. Whom will he teach? By the way, how many of you can tell God is not encouraging them right here? This is a prophecy from Isaiah that is speaking judgment to his people, to God's people. And part of it, he's coming against the leadership. Notice verse 9. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from the milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Let's read another one. But the word of the Lord was to them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Now, this can be a pretty confusing little portion of Scripture because it seems like God's saying bad things and then he's saying good things and then he's saying bad things again. Let me tell you what's going on here. God has been speaking to his people over and over and over, warning them of judgment to come, trying to get them to repent, trying to get them to turn. And now God's getting fed up with their arrogance. God is angry, and he's at the point where judgment is just on the brink right now. I mean, he's upset. And a lot of times we see this precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. What God is saying here is, this is your attitude. I'm trying to speak to you in words that you can understand. I keep bringing the prophets to come tell you the same thing over and over, trying to lead you step by step by step. And you know what the people say? Oh, yeah, here comes another prophet. That's another precept and another one and then another one. Oh, long sermons. Here we go. That's another. Oh, my goodness. They always have something to say. Precept upon precept. These precepts are important. Oh, yeah, line upon line. You know what they're saying? Blah, 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 blah. And so you know what God says? That's the way you feel? Well, let me tell you what it's going to be next time. He says, with stammering lips and another tongue, I'm going to speak to this people. And let me tell you exactly what he's referring to. Shortly after this, the Assyrians are going to come, and they're going to siege, and they're going to attack, and they're going to conquer God's people. And now guess how God is speaking to them? With the language of the Assyrians, which the Hebrews do not understand. It sounds like yakety, 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 yak. And God says, if you will not understand, then I'll speak to you in a language that you cannot understand. And that is harsh cruelty from those of other nations. Now, let's look at one more passage. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 28. This is not directly quoted, but I believe Paul had this concept in mind, if not this passage in mind, when he quoted that Isaiah passage. Deuteronomy chapter 28, let's skip down to verse 45. You know that the first portion of this chapter is talking about the blessings of obedience, and the majority of the rest of this chapter is talking about the cursings of disobedience. And here in the cursing portion, beginning at verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now, this is before Isaiah ever got to this, and Isaiah wasn't the only prophet that had to prophesy judgment and doom. But here, way back in the law with Moses, God is speaking to them and saying, listen, if you'll just obey me, if you'll just listen to me, I'll bless you. I'll do you good. I'll make your life good. But if you don't obey me, then I'm going to have to get to the place where things don't go well for you. In fact, I'm going to cause things not to go well for you if you don't obey me. And so he says it here. These curses will come upon you and pursue you, overtake you, until you are destroyed because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you, notice this, for a what? For a sign. Didn't we just read in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul said tongues are for a sign? To who? The unbeliever. Let me show you about this sign. He said this is going to be for a sign. A sign. Let's see, what verse were we on? Verse 46. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder, and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy, there's joy, and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. Notice, when God blesses you, he wants you to get excited about it and be glad and rejoice. Aren't you glad God lets us be joyful? But how many of you know God blesses some people and then they don't thank him for it? They don't rejoice in it. They start complaining about what they don't have yet. And that irritates God. Just like it irritates us when a child, we bless them and bless them and bless them, and all they do is complain about what we didn't do. And that irritates us and it irritates God. But how many of you know a lot of us are just grown children? Right? Bodily, we're big. In gratefulness, we're small many times. And God says, I don't appreciate that. He said, that's part of the reason for the curse. Verse 48, therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which does not respect the elderly, nor show favor to the young. And they shall eat the increase of your livestock and the produce of your land until you are destroyed. They shall not leave you grain or new wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or the offspring of your flocks until they have destroyed you. Did you hear? One of the curses that God points out is that because you don't listen to me, you don't obey me, it's going to come to the point that I judge you. I'm going to hand you over to another nation. You will not understand their language. God's saying, right now I'm trying to speak to you. I'm communicating to you. I want you to understand I need changes in your life. Are you listening to me?
Pay attention, because if you won't listen to me and you refuse to understand, then what you're going to end up hearing is a language that you cannot understand. Because I'll turn you over to people that don't even speak your language, and that language that you don't understand will not be intelligible to you, but it will be a sign to you that you have already passed into judgment. And it's too late for repentance now. The judgment's going to happen. Now, back to 1 Corinthians 14. Now let's look at this in light of what Isaiah and Deuteronomy 28 have said. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. Paul's talking about tongues in the church. Do not be children in understanding, however in malice be base, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. What is he saying? This is not a good sign. This is not a sign to show you that God is real and that he loves you and all that. You know, this is a negative sign. This is a sign that says you're not on speaking terms with God. Now listen, he's not talking about the manifestation of the spirit of tongues. He's helping the Corinthians to understand something. Because they get all excited and they're speaking in tongues and just going after it. And Paul says, listen, understand something. When God comes into our midst, he wants to talk in a language that we can understand. This is a communicating God. And you guys are all into this tongues and speaking what people can't understand and coming, taking up the time in the service. He says, but don't you know that when God didn't speak to his people in terms that they could understand, that was a judgment and a curse? He says, you need to understand that's not what the spiritual gifts are for, so that we all come in and have a warm fuzzy, but nobody heard from God. He said, don't be children in understanding what these spiritual gifts are for. They're for people to hear God. So the sign of tongues that he's talking about here is the sign to people that not just didn't believe, but that they didn't know. Notice he didn't use the word uninformed. It's a sign to people who refuse to believe. Do you understand? So Paul is saying you need to understand God's heart is not to speak to people in a language that they cannot understand. His heart is to speak to them in a language that they can understand. And he's saying, stop being children and thinking it's just good enough just because something spiritual has happened. No, we've got a real God who wants to talk to his people. And it's not enough to have an unknown language. People have to hear God in the language that they understand. And that's what Paul's talking about here. So when he says, therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers, he's saying, that's for people who are rebellious. That's the people that get an unintelligible message from God. He's saying the believers are supposed to get an intelligent, an understandable message from God. See, he's talking in concept here more than he's talking about the specific gifts of the Spirit so that the Corinthians can understand God wants people to hear him and to understand what he's saying. And so the sign here is not necessarily talking about the manifestation of tongues being a sign for unbelievers. I've heard people even saying, see, when we have unbelievers in here, we need to speak out in tongues because that's a sign. Well, it hasn't been a helpful sign from what I've seen. Boy, I just can't remember anybody saying, hey, you know, I've never heard any of that yakety yak before. Wow, man, I want to accept God. Can I yak? I've heard people be inquisitive about it, but I've just never heard. I've heard more negative. I've heard more offended people. I've heard more people weirded out, freaked out, don't want to come back to church anymore because of this. I have not heard this being a positive sign to them. Wow, God is here because I heard the yakety yak. Is that right? See, and sometimes we misunderstand this and read this passage and don't understand what Paul's talking about because we didn't go back and look in the scripture to see what the context was. Paul is saying that sign is for rebellious people. God doesn't talk straightforward anymore when they refuse to listen to him. He turns them over to enemies. He's saying, but listen, that's not what this is about. This is about us gathering together as believers and allowing God to speak in an intelligent language. What does that mean? That means prophesying, but also tongues with interpretation in an orderly way so that we're receiving benefit out of it because our God wants to love us and talk to us. Amen. Is that clear? Thank God. Now, therefore, tongues are for a sign, verse 22, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers, but prophesying not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Let me say it a different way. A language you cannot understand as being God speaking to you is a curse. It's a sign for rebellious people. That's what you get. Right? It's kind of like talk to the hand type thing. Like we're not on speaking terms anymore. But for believers, people who are trying to get something from God, the sign is prophecy, or in other words, or interpretation with tongues. The sign is when God speaks in a language you understand. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there comes in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you're out of your mind? See, so that tells you right there that Paul was not referring to speaking in tongues being a sign to benefit unbelievers and uninformed people that come into the service. He's going to say, they're going to say, you're out of you're weird. You guys are whacked. Is that right? He says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. What does that mean? If you can speak by the Holy Spirit prophetic words, and it just fillets this person on the inside, and they know, man, either this is God, or there are a lot of people been reading my mail at home. Because nobody could have known all this stuff. Now what do they say? God's here. God's here. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you, now listen, here's another conclusion statement. How is it then, brethren, based on what we've talked about, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue. Notice, he didn't cut out tongues, did he? There it is, still in the list. After all that he said, listen, it's still there. Isn't it funny how people will read just a portion of it and see there, we don't need it in church anymore. There it is. Keep reading. And Paul sticks it back in there. Has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. And here's the guideline. Let all things be done for what? Edification. Not just to sound spiritual, not just to have spiritual things happening. Are we understanding? Are we getting built up? Are we being strengthened by this? That's the criteria. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. So notice in verse 27, here, Paul goes back now that he's brought an understanding of why we have spiritual gifts again and why tongues are not always appropriate in all situations. He comes back and says, now, when you do have tongues, let there be two, or at the most three, and then cut it off. Why? Because of what I just said. Nobody's getting anything out of that. We need some interpretation to happen. If we're going to wait and hear and listen to people speak out in tongues, if there's no interpretation, then it's back to what I said. What is it? It's like God's talking to us in a language we can't understand. He said, that's not for believers. We don't need that. And it's not even going to help the uninformed people because they're going to think we're whacked. He said, it does nobody any good. He says, so cut it off and let's get some interpretation happening so that we can be benefited. Now, notice this next verse. But, verse 28, if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, this is very interesting because I've heard a lot of people say, and I think I believe this myself, that when it comes to the gifts or the manifestations of the Spirit, we don't carry these around in our pockets. You know, I have within me a gift of the gifts of healings within me. And so that's what I do. I just carry it. No, I have the Holy Spirit within me. And He manifests Himself through me as I'll allow Him and as He sees fit. But I don't just carry one or two or some of the gifts with me and that they're just mine to give out whenever I want. That's not the way it works, okay? But right on the other hand, Paul says here, but if there is no interpreter, if there's no, well, he's not talking about somebody that can interpret Spanish to English. He's talking about somebody that the Holy Spirit uses to interpret tongues into the known language. And so if we don't carry specific gifts with us, then what is Paul talking about when he says, but if there's no interpreter? Evidently, he's saying, but if there's nobody in the group that you know to operate in the gift of interpretation, then he says, now there's a different rule on tongues. And look what it says. Then let him what? First thing he says is, he says three things. First thing he says is, be silent. You know, there are a lot of people that have a hard time with that. Think Paul and the Holy Spirit inspiring him is quenching the spirit of what's going on. Paul said, if you don't know somebody in the group that operates in the manifestation of interpretation of tongues, be quiet. Don't say it. But the Spirit's moving me to say it. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't be moving me if He didn't want me to say it. Well, then Paul's confused. Somebody's confused. I don't pick Paul, do you? Is that right? Paul's saying there are people here that feel like they've got a tongue, but if there's no interpreter, then here are the options. Be silent. Don't give it. You're not quenching the Spirit. You're being obedient to the Word of God. And everybody knows manifestations of the Spirit need to be subject to the Word of God. Paul is helping us to understand decency and in order so that people are benefited. First of all, he said, let him be silent. The next thing he says is, and let him speak to himself and to God. What does that mean? You don't have to say it out where people are hearing it. You can just say it to yourself. You got something stirring in your heart? You're not sure if that's the time or if there's an interpreter ready to go? Then pray it off to yourself and to God. Notice he didn't say blab it out loud anyway. Is that right? He said just pray it to yourself and to God. Isn't that interesting? Do you know that's been in the Bible the whole time? No, really, I didn't stick that in there today. That's been in there all the time. Pray it to yourself and to God. What is he saying? He's saying you don't need to draw everybody's attention to yourself. Now, I've heard some people that say, well, you know, I'm not going to be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. I'm coming to church. I'm Spirit-filled. I'm proud of the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to speak out. I'm just going to pray out loud in tongues. Paul said that's wrong, though. You're taking the attention off of what's going on in the service and bringing it to yourself under the guise or disguise of not being ashamed of the Holy Spirit. Do you think Paul's ashamed of the Holy Spirit? He's the one that wrote this. Do you think the Holy Spirit that inspired Paul is ashamed of himself? No. It's funny how we get that idea that we can't trust the Word of God. No. No. Paul's got something he's working on here. Well, let me ask you this. When you're in line at the grocery store, do you just start praying in tongues out loud? How about in English? Lord, I bless you today, God, for helping me grocery shop. Oh, you're a good God. Do you do that? Just pray out loud. That's in English. People can understand that. Do you do that? Why? Why don't you do that? Because that ain't what's happening right now. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be talking to somebody, having a conversation, they're going through something and say, do you mind if I pray for you? Now, that's what's happening. But just to get in your own little spiritual world, regardless of what's going on around you, and to start out loud saying something and doing something spiritual, you think, oh, man, God's going to be pleased. Look, I'm not ashamed. No, but maybe God is. Is that right? Because God's saying, don't be children in understanding that you want to benefit people. And if it's not benefiting people, if people aren't coming and saying, oh, would you pray for me? They're probably going to say, you know, I see a shorter line over here, you know. Right? It's funny how we understand this perfectly in the grocery store, but in church we get confused. We ought to understand it more in church. Thank God. Well, some people say, well, you know what? If it's all that complicated, let's just only have prophecy. Let's just forbid people to speak with tongues altogether, because other churches have done that. Some churches do that, and everything seems to be flowing fine. They don't have all this complication. Why don't we just do that? Let's just have prophecy, and let's just cut out all this tongues. Well, let me give you three reasons. Number one, because in the last two verses of this chapter, Paul says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. First reason is because God said, don't tell people not to do it. Talking about in the context of church. But he follows that up by saying, listen, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Listen, let all things be done. Say that with me. Let all things be done. Now, would all things be inclusive of tongues and interpretation? And here's a command from Scripture. A command. This is not a suggestion. This is not only in the Bibles of the rock. Is that right? We inherited this Scripture like every other believer. And there's a command that says, you let it all be done with these criteria. Decently and in order. Decently and in order. So what's our obligation? To let it be done. Let it be done. That's the first reason, because the Bible says, don't cut it out. So therefore, here at the Rock, we have no right to cut it out. Let me give you two other reasons. I believe that if we eliminate tongues and interpretation, we will miss out on messages from God. Some people would just assume, well, God can just speak other ways. Isn't that funny how we'll just assume things? We don't need that. We'll just do prophecies and we'll get it all. Well, if we get it all, then why didn't the Holy Spirit cut them out and just give seven manifestations of the Spirit? I believe we will miss messages from God because there are some people that won't move in prophecy, at least that day, but they will move by tongues and interpretation of tongues. I believe we'll miss out. Somehow I believe if we cut out, take our scissors and cut out portions of Scripture, we're going to miss something because it's all important. Okay? And the third reason is, I believe that if we eliminate tongues completely from our services, it'll only be a matter of time till it vanishes from our practice. In other words, if the people of God do not see the manifestations of tongues, and of course we need interpretation because of the corporate setting, but if they do not see the manifestation of tongues happening, unknown language happening, I believe that it will not be a reminder and an encouragement to the body of Christ that they can be filled with the Holy Spirit and have a prayer language that will build them up. And it'll be like many other churches and denominations where it has completely vanished and nobody mentions it ever again. And that, I believe, is a tragedy, because it's in the Word of God and it's beneficial. These things are helpful. They're helpful. I remember the very first time that I can remember moving in tongues and interpretation was when I had the privilege and the opportunity to speak on a Sunday night in our church service at our church where I youth pastored. My pastor asked me, would you like to take such and such a Sunday night? I said, yes, I would. Well, that week before, I ended up going on the Saturday over to my mother-in-law's house with my wife, and they went off shopping somewhere and taking care of some errands and things. And I just stayed at the house, and I just, with my Bible, I began to prepare or finish preparing the message that I was going to bring the next day in the evening time. And so I was going over my notes, and what I would do back then, and I do it a lot now, I'll walk around and I'll preach it out loud and I'll meditate on it as I'm preaching. I'll just go over and over the passages. I'll pray in the Spirit and I'll preach it and I'll meditate on it and the Holy Spirit will show me. I'm just getting it, working it, massaging it into my spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to enlighten me to it. Because see, I want to have this. I'm not giving a speech. Man, I want to get the revelation of this in me. And so I was doing that, walking around the house, and I got to this certain part of the message and a scripture I'd shared and a point that I made, and I sensed something of the Holy Spirit come up out of me. Now, there's nobody in the house. And it was tongues. It was tongues. Now, let's see. That whole time, I had prayed in tongues. It wasn't like that's the first time that happened that day. But there was something that came up in me. It wasn't me initiating praying in tongues. Something I sensed come up in me, and I spoke out in tongues. And as soon as I got done with that tongue, now listen, I'm by myself in the house. Here comes an interpretation to that. And it was a message in line with what I was teaching, this point that I was on. And I thought, well, that's interesting. That's the first time that ever happened to me. I thought, that's interesting. So I finished out my message to nobody. And here I went back over it again, started at the beginning, went back to my text, read the scripture, began to go through the points and reading the scriptures and the points and such. I got to that same spot, and guess what? Here it comes again. That tongue and following, the same interpretation. I don't know that it was word for word, but it was the same thing, said the same thing. Now this, when it happened the second time, I thought, I wonder. I didn't think much about it the first time, but the second time I thought, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow night when I get to that place. See, I knew our church believed in spiritual gifts and such, but I'd never heard tongues and interpretation in our church. And so next night came, here I go, I'm preaching along, get to that one spot, wasn't thinking about it, wasn't trying to conjure it up. When I got to that spot, as soon as I gave that point, guess what? Here it comes. Message in tongues, followed right by an interpretation of what it was. Same message. I don't know that it was word for word, but it was the same thing that I'd said two times the day before to this congregation, right along the lines of what the message was about. And then I just went right on and finished the message. And afterwards, I went in and talked to my pastor. Said, we all right? You know, want to know, do I have a job? Everything okay? He said, I thought it was great. I said, you didn't have any problem with that tongue interpretation? He said, no. He said, it went right along. Everything was smooth. You didn't make a big deal about it. Just gave it, and that's it. Walked out. Thank God. I thought that'd be okay. Thought that'd be okay, and I wasn't sure that that was going to happen. But that's the first time I can remember. Now I remember at this church, even though we haven't seen a lot of tongue interpretation happening in our service, I remember that we had, over a year ago, we had our very first men's wake-up call, something we called men's wake-up call, early in the morning, like 6. And so we had a time with the men together, and at the end of the time, we all stood around right here. The room was smaller at that time, so the platform was adjusted over here. But we were all in this area in a circle, and I was standing about here, and we were getting ready to pray to close out this time together. And right over there, about where David was, is right now, one of the men, he began to speak out in a tongue. And it was very emotional, very passionate. He was crying while he was giving it. But just kind of out of the blue, you know, it wasn't really an emotional time, but just out of the blue, he started giving this message in tongues. So I felt prompted to give a little explanation. I let all the men know. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible talks about tongues and interpretation of tongues as being one of the manifestations of the Spirit. Just gave a little short nutshell explanation of it. And I said, now here's what I believe the Lord is saying to us. And I told him. It was a while later that I was talking to one of the newer men of our church, and he said, hey, I want to ask you about that. I was at that men's gathering. He said, that thing that happened at the end, what that guy was doing, is that tongues? See, he'd never heard it before. And I said, yeah, that was tongues. And he said, I thought it was. He says, but doesn't the Bible say that if you have tongues that you're supposed to have interpretation? And I said, yeah. Yeah. I said, and I gave that interpretation afterwards. He said, you did? I said, yeah. I said, don't you remember me saying I believe in the Lord? Oh, but I thought you were going to give a word-by-word translation. No, it's not a translation. It's an interpretation. So you don't have to make a big deal about it. You just have to say, here's what I believe the Lord's saying, or just give it. The Lord's saying, and bam, there it is. It doesn't have to. You don't have to get loud. Did you know that? It's not necessarily God if you get loud, and it's not necessarily not God if you get loud. But volume doesn't determine God. Style doesn't determine God. Crying, kneeling, standing, jerking. That doesn't determine God. Is that right? That doesn't necessarily mean that that's God or not God. God or not God is based on the message. Was it God? And when it hit, when it came into our ears, did the Holy Spirit inside of us bear witness that God's talking to us? See, that's the point. And I'll tell you a mistake that a lot of times people make when they do have tongues and interpretation. They get all excited that the Holy Spirit did something, that they don't respond to what God said. Like getting a love letter from somebody you didn't know they liked you in junior high, and you got a love letter, and you got so excited, got a love letter, got a love, you forgot to write back. God's not talking to us just so we say, he talked to me. No, he wants a response. He's saying something to us, and he wants us to thank him and to appreciate him, to respond. If he's bringing something that where there's a correction needed, I want you to do this and such. Oh, yes, Lord, we need to do that. We need to, Lord, here we are. We're going to flow with you, God. We heard what you said today. We respond to that. We understand. We appreciate you talking to us. See, there's a response. This is a relationship with God. Amen. So we need to learn these things. Now, Dave, come to the keyboard. Let's close this service out here and be sensitive to the Lord. And let's pray and be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to us right here. How many of you believe the Holy Spirit's here tonight? Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Let's stand together. Praise God. Let's open ourselves up and bless on the Lord. We bless you, Lord. Oh, we thank you that your presence is here, Lord. Praise God. Oh, we bless you, Lord.